The following programming is sponsored by Bishop Mary Enterprises, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Real. Real. Relaxed. Relaxed. But relevant. But relevant. She's an absolute professional with a homegirl feel. Welcome to the Bishop Mary Show with Bishop Mary Foy Palmer, where she will discuss both religious and secular topics with various guests from all walks of life. So thanks for tuning in to the Bishop Mary Show. And now, here's Bishop Mary.
And top of the morning to you. Good morning. Good morning. This is Bishop Mary on the Bishop Mary Show, your host. We're excited now as we wind down on our primary candidates that have been here so you can make an informed decision. I have two great persons today that are running for the office of Attorney General and certainly would love your consideration. We're going to begin shortly right after this message.
Hundreds of shooting incidents and multiple victims. Homicides that were senseless, cold, intentional, killing our men, women, and children in the African American communities. The question is, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Have we considered each other as neighbors? We can wait for someone to come in and save us, or we can save ourselves. The violence must end. Do your part.
Never let me down before. Mm-hmm. Don't imagine you're too familiar, and I don't see you anymore. I would not leave you in times of trouble. We never could have come. Mm-hmm. I took the good times, I'll take the bad times, I'll take you just the way you are. Don't go trying some new fashion. Don't change the color of your hair. Mm-hmm. You always have my unspoken passion. Although I might not seem to care, I don't want clever conversation. Want to work that hard. I just want someone that I can talk to. I want you just the way you are.
And that is how we're starting today. Wanting you just the way you are here on the Bishop Mary Show. And that is a fine introduction of a wonderful song, one of my favorite, by Billy Joel, who, of course, is iconic within himself, but happily is a choice of a song to introduce just the way he is. Delaware County District Attorney Jack Stolzheimer, how are you? Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. It's wonderful to see you. And welcome to being on the Bishop Mary Show for the first time. I had many requests for you, so I'm glad you got in just before the end of the primary. And I'm certain from the response I'm getting from those that are texting me, he's on, he's on, he's on. Yes, 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 he's on. Tune in right now here on 860 AM or join us online and we'll hear the whole conversation. We know that you presently serve as the Delaware County District Attorney, and certainly you have had a stellar career. I happened to hear you at the Attorney General's Forum that was held at Enon Tabernacle Baptist Church with not only my pastoral friend, but also my frat brother, Dr. Alan Waller. And I found out a few facts about you I did not know before. So I'm going to give you the next 2 minutes to kind of tell us just exactly who is Jack Stollheimer.
Well, thank you very much. First of all, it was a pleasure to meet you at the Enon Tabernacle event as well, and to catch up. It's been a whirlwind, you know, trying to do my day job as a district attorney, which is pretty lot of work, and run statewide, and be a parent. It's all been pretty challenging.
Oh my.
But looking
forward to
it.
A parent of how many children, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, I have two 18-year-old children.
Oh,
boy-girl twins. Yeah,
oh.
You can imagine.
I'll be twin grandmom of twin girls, 18 in about 7 years, and I'm not at all. Having already gone through five grown children of that 18-year-old stage, yes.
Yeah.
And girls at that. So I'm certain that you have an array of defense weapons that will ward off any kind of intruder that may come before their time, shall I say.
That's true. But it's been an interesting time because they're at the end of their high school career, trying to figure out which colleges they're going to go to. You know, you probably know this, but there's been a hiccup this year in financial aid from the from the government. So all of these kids, or a lot of them, don't know where they're going yet. My kids both have had multiple acceptances, but they got to make a big decision that's going to be relatively life-changing. We all know where you go to college isn't always where you end up. But I'm looking forward to helping them through that process. And can't believe, Bishop, me and my wife are going to be empty nesters come this fall. So there's just
you'll,
a lot
you'll,
going
you'll
on.
Find some, you're really good. You'll find out just how much you enjoy it. Although you missed the hustle of the bustle.
My wife left me to go to on a cruise. She's in Greece right now.
Oh, my.
With her sister. Yeah.
She didn't want to be for the primary.
I've got the two 18-year-olds and the two dogs, and we're all trying to keep it together.
Are the dogs girls, too?
Little bit of an election.
The dogs girls, too?
No, what? They're both boys.
Oh, okay. So you have friendship in the house.
Well, some days the dogs are the only friends I have in the house.
Absolutely. So you're a dad, and you're getting ready to understand the whole importance of education and that impact, particularly personally as a parent. But then, in operating as a district attorney, you see what happens when education is not a part of the persons that come before you, or the lack thereof, or should I say the limited access to it that causes some of them to fall into what we call the cycle of the criminal justice system. So why don't you just give us a little background about yourself and your education and how you got to be DA and why you want to be the Attorney General of this fine state?
Sure. First, as a way of introduction, I'm someone I'm a lifelong Democrat and a longtime public servant. And I was inspired to these things by my parents' struggles to live the American dream. My mother came to this country as a 15-year-old Ukrainian refugee from a Nazi slave labor camp. She and her family were lucky that at the end of World War II, the camp they were in was liberated by American soldiers and not Russians. And my grandparents, my Babushka and Jedushka, decided they wanted to come to the United States no matter what it took, because the men who liberated their camp were the kindest men, my grandmother said, she'd ever met in uniform, because they gave her starving children their food. So for 6 years, my family lived on the streets of Europe. struggling to get here. My dad was a high school dropout. He grew up in Upper Darby, dropped out when he was 17 to join the Army during the Korean War. He met my mom when he was home on leave. And for a short period of time, they really got to live the American dream. They got married, had a beautiful daughter. Unfortunately, my mother died in childbirth at 26 with me. So I never in this life have had the honor and pleasure of hearing her voice or feeling her touch. But, you know, I've lived with the pain and the guilt of that my whole life. And that's what inspired me to want to do better, to be a public servant, and to make the world a slightly better place through my efforts. When my mom died, my family faced a struggle that would have broken lesser people. My dad was one of the most courageous men I've ever met. He had no job, no education, and two small babies at home. And the way we survived was we stayed out of poverty because of the Social Security program. A lot of young people especially don't understand, but it is the most successful anti-poverty program in the history of the world. Many families in America would be starving right now, people, if they didn't have that program. But my dad was able to then get us into the middle class when he got a union job. My dad became a SEPTA bus driver. He loved his work. He loved the people. Very few people have ever had a better time than being on Fred Stolzheimer's bus. He made it a wonderful experience. And because we had union protection, you know, we had health care, we had an election or paycheck so that he could take us to a Phillies game or an Eagles game, you know, live the American dream. He worked hard, played by the rules, and we got ahead. So, you know, I had a difficult upbringing because of my family situation. I got to be honest with you, Bishop Mary, I never thought education was an important thing to me. Mm. It wasn't to my family. So I didn't go to college until I was 29 years old. I went to law school when I was 34. So I'm a little bit of a late bloomer. But I learned later the value of education. There was just too many rooms I couldn't get into because I didn't have that piece of paper on the wall. And having a legal education is probably the most useful education there is. They really teach you how to think, break down problems, and come up with solutions. So I've spent, as I mentioned earlier, most of my life in public service. I've done a lot of different things. I started by working for a state legislator back in the late 80s, who was the Democratic leader of the state house, a guy named Jim Mandarino, later became speaker. I helped him become speaker. We represented a steel town in western Pennsylvania that was devastated when American capitalism left, you know, closed these factories and left working people behind. And I've seen it all across Pennsylvania. I worked as deputy state treasurer for a while, for Joe Torsella, making programs like the ABLE program, a savings program for people with disabilities, become a reality. I worked as Pennsylvania's safe schools advocate, trying to protect children and teachers in the Philadelphia School District. Was a federal prosecutor for a while, which is really what inspired me to run for DA, because I had learned as a federal prosecutor that there are really things we can do about gun violence. Most importantly, there's a program called Focus Deterrence. It's a strategy to focus on the 1% of people who commit 75 to 80% of the shootings in any high crime area. And if we give them a chance to go a different way, we offer them a carrot. We'll help you get out of this life if you let us. But then we also wield the stick, but we're going to stop you if you make us. So I ran 4 years ago because I wanted to bring that program to the city of Chester. Chester was the place my mother first lived as a free person when she came to the United States. And we've had tremendous success over the last 4 years. We've brought the community and law enforcement together. We've reduced the number of shootings by 72%. The number of gun homicides are down by 68%. Most of the folks who live in Chester now don't look like me or my family, but they're getting to live the same American dream that we got to start in that place, in that wonderful community. And I'm really proud of that work. I'm proud of all of the other work I've done as district attorney. I'm the first DA ever to prosecute wage theft in the construction industry, which is why I have so much labor support across Pennsylvania. The building trades in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and the suburbs, the AFL-CIO in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, they've all endorsed my candidacy, the Carpenters Union, the laborers, and we're all working together because we want to make a difference. I really believe that the purpose of government is to make a positive difference in the lives of its citizens. That's why we're Democrats. And I've been able to do that in Delaware County. I see Josh Shapiro doing it for our Commonwealth. And I want to join him in Harrisburg and be your Attorney General.
Wow. You shared quite a bit, and some of my folks are just saying, boy, we didn't know that, particularly since an issue of Black maternal health has increased by 40% here in the city of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And given that, of course, you're not African-American, it obviously struck a chord for those of us. It's not really talked about a lot, and it's one of those silent things that are happening. But you're bringing highlight to how someone can still yet survive and be successful. Although their beginning may not have been the best, it has to be a mindset. And so the thought theme of my nonprofit is changing lives by changing mindsets. If I could take you to the water, but I can't make you drink. You have to be thirsty enough to want to yourself. So I appreciate you sharing that background, certainly. Now, are you a law student here in Philadelphia, or did you go to another place that offered a scholarship for you? Are you homegrown? Obviously, Chester.
Right. Temple is the best law school.
I knew it. Temple made. All right. So you are really dug in here, in the roots of Temple. And of course, my late father was a graduate of Temple. And being the craziest man in Philadelphia with that van with the coffin on top, riding around all during the gang war years by himself with the permission of then Commissioner Frank Rizzo to do it when he was off duty, just speaks to the length of character that this violence issue can be curtailed. And I'm certain that obviously by you decreasing 72% of the shootings in Chester, I had a short stint of living in Chester, not the best experience, bless God, but I was able to get out, get myself together. But now I teach and have been teaching not full time, but as a volunteer on a weekly basis at SCI Chester. So sometimes the Lord brings you back to places so that even if it was a bad experience, you can change that trajectory by the positive one that you give. So I'm happy about what's happening in Chester, in particular because there is heavy poverty there and they're not as large as Philadelphia, but the impact is definitely felt more. As the district attorney versus now becoming what we call the chief law enforcement officer of the state of Pennsylvania, you're here in the southeastern region. Now you have to look at it totally for the whole state. What are the top three things you want to hit and hopefully should you win this primary and hopefully the election in November? What are the top three priorities you have as Attorney General that will be able to make our citizens feel that you care about them?
Yeah, great question. So first of all, you know, the work in Chester on gun violence is the work I want to do across Pennsylvania. You know, every county in Pennsylvania has a gun violence problem, whether that's gun suicides, which account for about 2/3 of the gun deaths in our country every year. That's a big problem in rural Pennsylvania. Mm. Mm-hmm. I think we need to take a holistic approach. I want to partner with all 67 county district attorneys and say, what can we do to bring resources to your county under the same matrix, the same focus, deterrent strategy, and how can we make a difference and save people's lives in your county? We did this at the federal level when I was a federal prosecutor. I want to do it at the state level here and just get out to every community. And Mary, so much of it is about bringing the community folks in with law enforcement. Law enforcement understands we can't just arrest our way out of a problem like this. We have to work together with the community. And, you know, this program used to work so well in the city of Philadelphia when Seth Williams and even Lynn Abraham, who started it in Philadelphia. And I think we just need to get back to basics. And I want to be the person who does that.
Okay.
I also want to continue the work I've done on wage theft. As I mentioned, there's a statute in Pennsylvania that makes it a crime to misclassify workers on a construction site so you can pay them less and cheat on unemployment and workers' comp. But nobody prosecuted it in the 10 years the statute had been on the books. Attorney General Shapiro and I partnered together in Delaware County, and we've held contractors criminally liable here. They've gotten jail time for stealing from us and from our workers.
Wow.
And I want to do that to protect the union way of life. I think for most of us, the only way to get to the American dream is through the union way of life. It's not rocket science to me that we've increased the income inequality in this country at a time when we've lessened the power of unions, particularly in the private sector. So us banding together as workers, standing up for our rights and having people in office who protect those rights and enforce them, that's going to be my priority as well. And then I just want to do everything I can, both on the consumer protection, the civil rights side, protecting our elections. That's all part of the civil work of the attorney general. A little bit different. The district attorney is the chief law enforcement officer of their county. Mm-hmm. The attorney general is the chief law enforcement officer, as you mentioned, of the Commonwealth, but also is the chief legal officer. So there's a lot more of that civil side legal work that the AG has a chance to do to fight for people like us. And just if you don't mind, give you an example. Under the Pennsylvania Consumer Protection Statute, the DA and the Attorney General can bring an action on behalf of consumers who are defrauded. So I brought an action against the opioid distributors, went to court, sued them and for all of the damage they've done to all of our communities by selling these drugs legally in our communities, but lying to us about the effects it would have. Mm. Josh Shapiro was able to settle those suits. For all of us, we're bringing $60 million home to Delaware County over the next 18 years to help people with substance use disorder.
Wow.
But that's the kind of work you can do on the civil side, matching the work you can do on the criminal side to really make a difference for folks in Pennsylvania, in all 67 counties. That's what I want to do.
I love the top three ones. You often don't hear it. It's usually crime and education, housing. Things that do impact people, but the wage theft thing is something that I know I've heard about in passing from people who have had to fight through unemployment to get what they felt they would deserve, and it's not always favorable. And so I'm grateful that you're looking out for those who work hard, because if you work hard and you play hard, you should get paid, and there shouldn't be a whole issue about not getting paid.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're dealing with someone who's refusing to take that action. And I have a question from one of our listeners who was asking, as someone from Philadelphia, understanding the challenges of Philadelphia, what specifically will help you to keep Philadelphia in mind when you are serving as Attorney General? Sometimes they feel that the attorney generals, when they come from the Western start, you know, forget about the East, and those that are here in the Southeastern forget about the West. But what will help you to focus and be able to, as I said, represent all of African Americans, other ethnic groups, Hispanic, you coming from immigrant parents? Our immigration population has bolstered greatly, particularly outside of the city of Philadelphia, in Reading and other areas. What will make you centralized to care about them too?
Sure. Great question. First of all, I intend to locate most of my time in the city of Philadelphia. The Attorney General has statewide jurisdiction, but Philadelphia is so important to this entire Commonwealth. It's the economic driver, particularly for us in the suburbs as well. So I intend to start most of my days in this region and working here. But I also know that to do this job properly, you have to get out into every community.
Mm.
I got to tell you, Mary, the thing I love most about being an elected official is getting out in the community. I don't really love sitting in the office and dealing with paperwork. Being out in the community and talking about the work we can do, connecting people to their government, that's the really fun part. So getting out in Western Pennsylvania, it's actually been fun during the campaign, despite all these, you know, communities that want to have Zoom calls, which I can't tell you how much I love Zoom. Being with you on Zoom is pretty good. When you're like dealing with people in Clarion County who want you to talk for 2 minutes, it's like, come on.
I know.
But you got to be out there, you know, you got to show up. And that's the only way you really can connect with people And so much of being the elected leader of a agency, like the district attorney's office or the AG's office, is letting people know the good work that these people do. And so I intend to keep doing that. And look, Philadelphia, you know, my heart is in this region. My mother started in Chester. They ended up in Logan. There used to be a really bustling Ukrainian and Russian community. So I was born in Philadelphia. We lived 6th and Rushcombe when I was a kid. My grandparents lived there until I was about 8 or 9. So I used to spend my summers in Philadelphia.
Wow.
So we're all bound here together. I mean, we're not really a state if people know this. We're one of the few states as a commonwealth. And what that means is we all recognize that all of our success is bound up together. Each of us succeeds when all of us have an opportunity to reach their highest human potential.
Absolutely.
And so we have to do that in government. We have to be out there in the community talking to folks and trying to solve their problems.
Absolutely. Just two more quick questions as we are, and I know our time is going by and I'm loving it. So the issue in regards to education, you talked about how that really groomed you. What word could you say, or how will you be watching how the education, particularly in Philadelphia, is? We had the recent Commonwealth Court decision that helped us, but we're still running into loopholes of equity, because right outside our districts, it's a whole nother lifestyle than here in Philadelphia. How can you influence that to push the needle so the children can have the same opportunity you did?
It's a great question, Mary. And as a person of faith, as I know you are, the income inequality in this country is one of the things that tears most at our hearts. And I see it every single day here in Delaware County. The stark differences in resources between, for example, the Upper Darby School District, which is right next door to my kids' school district here in Haverford, is unconscionable. The lead plaintiff case in that Commonwealth Court case you talked about is the Penwood School District here in Delaware County. So I've seen people fighting for equality and they need to get it. The Commonwealth Court decision is the first step. Now the legislature has to, and the governor have to work together to increase funding and do it in such a way that they meet that new constitutional standard, which is a little opaque, by the way. The job of the next attorney general, which I hope is me, is going to be to make sure we hold the legislature, the General Assembly, accountable to that decision. So there's going to be, I predict, years of litigation over whatever the General Assembly does to try to close that equity gap. And I'm going to be the lawyer for the people, not for the General Assembly, for the people to go in there and say, this is right or this is wrong. And as you mentioned, you know, this is such an important issue for so many people. And I know it firsthand, you know, not having gone to, my father was a high school dropout, not having gone to college, took me a long time to realize how important that degree and that knowledge base is. And I don't want to see people fall behind like I did. We got to give them every opportunity. And high school has to mean something, Mary.
Absolutely.
We really have to make sure. Yes.
And I see it in jail. They graduate from high school and they barely can write, read, comprehension. So the value of education has to definitely be a lot different. That's my engineer. He said to me this morning when I played, he said, I love Billy Joel. You're starting my day off great. My great engineer, Matt. And when you shared that with me, I thought, wow, maybe I'll do a love song, but that'll make you think about the wife while she's away.
There you go.
And you'll be happy
to
come.
You started my day off tremendously. Thank you so much for
Absolutely.
Having me on.
Well, we're so grateful that you come here to the Bishop Mary Show. Feel free at any time to just let me know when you want to come and update us about how things in Chester are going. And I guess tomorrow's the election. We'll find out one way or another how things are going to be going. And if you're progressing, particularly with this 2024 year for President Biden. And we thank you so much for taking your time to change your morning to be here. I am Hippopotamus Happy, and I thank you for accepting my invitation. And in closing, would you mind saying your favorite quote that gets you up every day, that keeps you moving, that helps you to when you have those moments to realize why you are a public servant.
Yeah, Robert Kennedy went to South Africa in 1966, and he said, "A few of us will have the greatness to bend history itself, but each of us can work to change a small portion of events. And it's the totality of those acts that is the story of a generation."
Wow.
So I get inspired every day by what he did and what Nelson Mandela did, by their words and their actions. And I thank you so much. God bless you for all the work you're doing. Really is meaningful and impactful, I know, in the community, particularly in CI Chester with those guys. And I deeply appreciate getting to know you just a little bit.
Absolutely. Likewise as well. We thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen, our Delaware County District Attorney, Mr. Jack Stolzheimer, who is also a candidate, a Democratic candidate for Attorney General. Listen to the podcast. Reach out to his camp, I guess. Jack Stolzheimer, I think it was .org or .com. Is it .org?
JackForAG.com.
Thank you. JackForAG.com. And get any information that you might want, and feel free to reach out to them and they'll be happy to accommodate you. Up next, right now, he's coming up with our Sports Minute. Come on, we're going to hear from Sports Talk. Terry, give us Philly sports.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I am Sports Talk Terry with your Philly Sports Minute. So, the Philadelphia 76ers heading to the second game of their first-round matchup versus the New York Knicks after dropping game one. That game will be tonight at Madison Square Garden. All eyes are going to be on Joel Embiid, who landed awkwardly in game one after a alley-oop pass to self and dunk finish in game one, where he fell and hurt his knee but was able to finish the game. Obviously, there's been some concerns over Embiid's career about his ability to stay healthy, so how he comes back from this and plays through the remaining of not just this game, but this matchup and the rest of the playoffs is going to be obviously the signature point of how the Sixers are looking for their chances to advance past them onto the second round. To the NFL, the Eagles have their eyes set on the NFL draft, which comes in this weekend. As we mentioned on our last segment piece, there's a lot of talk about them grabbing an offensive lineman or potentially taking Brock Bowers, who's a stud tight end. In the first round, there are multiple needs on defense that also need addressing, so they could go there. And lastly, the Philadelphia Phillies are red hot coming off of a weekend where they won a two consecutive series and are winners of six plus games in a row and are now clawing towards that first place spot in the division behind Atlanta. They pick up baseball action starting tomorrow. This is Sports Talk Terry with your Sports Talk Minute. Make sure you guys check me out on all social media platforms at Sports Talk Terry. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, son. And we appreciate it. Please feel free to tune in to Sports Talk Terry on all social medias. And he gives a weekly update right here live on the Bishop Mary Show. Up next, we have former Bucks County Solicitor Joe Kahn coming to speak to us as a Democratic candidate for Attorney General. But let's introduce him this way.
Hundreds of shooting incidents and multiple victims. Homicides that were senseless, cold, intentional, killing our men, women, and children in the African American communities. The question is, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Have we considered each other as neighbors? We can wait for someone to come in and save us, or we can save ourselves. The violence must end. Do your part.
Take all night, thinking in a day.
Guess I won't learn how to fly, but I'll be on a flight by the end of this afternoon. So I'll be thinking of the Foo Fighters song. I don't need to learn how to. I just needed to get from here, amen, to there safely. And that is a way for us to introduce my second candidate and the last primary candidate that will be featured here when the Bishop Mary Show on WWDB is former Bucks County Solicitor Joe Kahn. Good morning.
Bishop Merrick, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. Good to see you.
Same. It was great to see you last week at Enon Tabernacle.
Absolutely. It was great to hear you speak as well. And certainly, we want to know who you are. And if you give us just a capsulized view of who is Joe Kahn, so we can then be informed and listen intently and consider you, should we, for our Attorney General.
Well, I guess the story of me starts with the story of my parents, Bishop Mary. That begins with my dad, who was a bridge builder from Pakistan, who was able to come to this country, specifically Philadelphia, because we had a president who wasn't calling for a ban on all Muslims coming into the United States.
Oh, wow.
Right? Someone named John F. Kennedy. So that was the first part of my story. The second part was my mom. She was a Catholic nurse who grew up in West Oak Lane.
Wow.
And she was raised by a single mother because her father had lost his battle with addiction when she was 10. And they got together in the 70s. And so back then, when you had a Muslim and a Catholic falling in love, the only place that seemed right to raise their kids was a Jewish neighborhood.
So, oh, that's a joke. That's a real good one. All right. Muslim, Catholic equals Jewish neighborhood. Okay. I guess you're safe there.
That's what they figured. Yeah. So it was great. So my brother, many of your listeners know my brother, Tarek Kahn, who's now a state rep in Northwest Philly. We were raised up on Albuquerque Avenue, went to great public schools in Philadelphia. And I was able to graduate and go off to get my law degree at the University of Chicago. And believe it or not, when I was looking for direction, I met a professor with the same background. His dad was a Muslim immigrant. His mom was a Christian American. And just like me, he had this, you know, adolescence of always feeling different. But what he taught me was that having to spend your whole life building bridges to other cultures every time you start a conversation, that wasn't going to hold me back as a public interest lawyer. That was going to be my superpower. And my professor's name was Barack Obama. So I had him in my life at a pivotal time. And because
before
of that,
he became the president.
Long
All right.
Before that.
Wow.
And I learned a lot. And that's kind of what set me up for this 24-year career I've had, standing up for people, fighting for everyone, and doing my best to keep them safe.
Wow. Well, I guess everyone wants to know, how was he? Was he a straight down guy? I mean, he is our 44th president, and is still around. So I'm certain that probably, as you saw, where he became eventually was a source of pride and joy for you as well, having gotten him as a professor in Chicago. Wow, what a history.
Yeah, he taught me a lot. I mean, you know, I had him as a professor. He was also really a role model for me. I mean, I was 22, 23 then. He was about the age that I am now. He was a young father. He was, you know, he was trying to figure it out too. You know, it was a challenge. You know, he and Michelle only had, one daughter at that point, and they were trying to figure out if this politics game made sense, if it was the best use of his talents. And so I watched him work through that. I watched him up close actually lose a really tough fight. He ran for Congress and lost really badly.
Yes.
And I watched how he handled it. And you know, I also watched just in the classroom the way that he obviously was the smartest person in the room, but he never kind of let that show. He had this sense of humility, this sense of integrity, this goodness that you couldn't miss. And there was a really practical side to him, which was that he had this great intellect, but what he cared about wasn't, you know, graduating top of his class at Harvard Law School and all that. What he cared about was using that intellect, using those skills to help people and help address their everyday problems. And it's that perspective that really helped me understand what to do with the great education that I got and the abilities that I have as a lawyer. And that's why I'm running for this office, Mary, because the Attorney General's office is such a powerful office. And a lot of people just think about it as being, you know, the top cop mm-hmm. for Pennsylvania. And it is in some ways. I mean, you know, it has powerful criminal enforcement tools. And I think there's a lot of work I want to continue to do. I was a prosecutor for 16 years, longer than anyone running for this office in either party. But I think what's more important is that we think about what can this office uniquely do to address people's everyday problems. And that's what I am going to wake up every day going to work, making sure I figure out how to deal with not just myself, but with the people around me.
Absolutely. If you become Attorney General, what are your top three agendas in your first session of serving Pennsylvania as our chief law enforcement as well as legal representative for the state, for the Commonwealth? Excuse me, I keep on forgetting it's not the state of Pennsylvania, it's the Commonwealth when there is a difference.
You're absolutely, it is a Commonwealth. We have to look out for each other. It's just like, you know, the quote that you played at the beginning, right? We have to be our brothers and sisters keepers. And that's what this role should be. The three things that we need to get right are number one, as you said, public safety is a top priority for the Attorney General. And, you know, I have this unique experience. I've served at a county level. As both a prosecutor, you know, I started out in Philly in the district attorney's office, you know, standing up for victims of crime for 6 years before becoming a federal prosecutor for 10 years. But I also served here in Bucks County, as you said, as the Bucks County solicitor, where we did all kinds of things to make people's lives better with civil powers. So I'm going to use that perspective to make sure that all 67 counties from Philadelphia to Allegheny and in between, that they have support from the Attorney General to address the public safety crises like gun violence and crimes that are, you know, fueled by the opioid and fentanyl crises that we have. But we have to do more than that. And I think that I want to rethink the way that office works and not just think about issues from a standpoint of, is this a criminal enforcement issue? Is this a civil enforcement issue? And more broadly, what are the problems that we need to get to work on? And so the second thing I want to address, Bishop Mary, is environmental justice. Mm. That office currently prosecutes environmental crimes, which is important. We want to make sure we hold polluters accountable. I've done that work. But I think we also need to think more broadly. And sometimes local government and even state government, it fails the people. And oftentimes I have found, whether it's Nicetown in Philadelphia or Dunmore up in Lackawanna County, that communities are often shut out about on important issues. And as a result, they suffer all kinds of problems, health impacts for their kids, when they what they should have is a champion in the Attorney General's office who's going to go after government itself when the people's right to a clean environment is compromised. I've done that work before, and that's what I want to do as Attorney General in rethinking that office on the environment. And then the last thing, Bishop Mary, is besides kind of continuing the good work that is being done and rethinking how to go, how to address some of the problems that are currently being addressed by that office, I want to take on things that have never been done by an Attorney General's office. And the first thing I want to get started on day one is creating Pennsylvania's first ever housing justice unit. We have a housing crisis in Pennsylvania that affects every community. It looks different in different counties, but the common thread is that we have a shortage of attainable housing, and we don't have an Attorney General that is making this part of their mission to go after wrongdoers who are making the problem worse. And on day one, I'm going to make sure that we use criminal, civil, consumer protection, whatever powers I have, we're going to put that to work to try and make things better for people in Philadelphia and all across Pennsylvania.
Wow. Very, very good problems to, good problems to try to solve, especially housing justice, because there is a lot of concerning behavior centered around housing, just the gentrification, how that's affecting the homeowners that are still there, the rental crisis, as well as the pillaging that's going on with that, and leading most people now to being homeless, shared spaces, putting their things in storage. I mean, I've never seen more storage places pop up at the drop of a hat in Philadelphia like never before. So clearly there is something going on. I'm happy to hear that you will be creating that. And certainly if that is, if you should become the winner, we'll definitely, I'm sure folks are going to be wanting you to hold your feet to fire on that issue. Environmental justice, of course, today is Earth Day. And, of course, their theme is Earth versus plastics. So a lot of people find it inconvenient now that we have to use paper bags, but isn't that trees? So the argument comes, well, we need plastics, or we got to walk around with our stuff in our arms, which makes us vulnerable as victims. There was a lady who came running back into a store I was in over the weekend saying that somebody hit her head and stole her groceries from her because it wasn't in a bag. So something along here in the world has to be resolved as to how we can be better stewards of what God has created and we so enjoy. Here's another one, particularly since you have been a solicitor and a federal prosecutor. What is your feeling about forensics? Here in Philadelphia, there are many unsolved crimes, and you've served as a Philadelphia district attorney. So you know that not only in Philadelphia, but on the federal level, a lot of it is based upon the evidence. And Philadelphia right now does not have the best forensics available to helping to solve these issues. And there are many families that are still yet waiting for resolution. What is your take on forensics, and how important do you think they play in our criminal justice system as well as reform?
Well, the first thing I always like to do, Bishop Mary, is talk about what I've already done so people can figure out how credible I am about talking about what I'm going to do. And, you know, when I served as a federal prosecutor, this was about 17 years ago, I was asked to look at what was happening in Southwest Philly. This is back in 2007 and 2008, and the gun violence rate was spiraling out of control. And we figured out that it was really a small group of people that were responsible for most of the gun violence that we saw. And so we figured out how to intervene with the power of the U.S. Attorney's Office to save lives and to think bigger picture, not just about arresting some people who needed to stop what they were doing, but also to think about what else we could do from there. And so my experience, Bishop Mary, is that forensics is really half of the equation when we're looking at how are we going to solve unsolved homicides, right? To hold people accountable for the damage that they're doing. Because what forensics can do is tell you whether a bullet came from a certain gun. If you have DNA testing, that might be able to, you know, match, some kind of remains on a bullet or something, right? To a particular person. But the other part of that is you have to know where to look. You need to have an idea of you know, where you might need to put your attention, who are the suspects, right? And the other part of that is human intelligence. And that's where the Attorney General's office can play a unique role. And so what we did, back to the work we did 17 years ago, is when we brought in people who were causing trouble with guns, we gave them a chance. We said, listen, you've done wrong, but we're going to give you a chance to make it right. We know that you've been mixed up in some bad things, and we want to provide some justice to some families that don't know who murdered their loved ones, right? And if you help us solve these crimes, right, then we're going to give you a chance to go to in front of the judge and say you deserve some more leniency because you're trying to pay your debt back to society. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of approach, Bishop Mary, that helped us zero in on who were the offenders that we needed to hold accountable for some of these cases. And then using forensics, we could prove those cases beyond a reasonable doubt. So I think that we need to have both. And I think where the Attorney General can uniquely play that role is not just the expertise in providing, you know, more state support to local DA's offices and local police departments, but helping use the power of that office to get more information. Sometimes it's people who are caught up in the problem, right? These are offenders that need to explain, what's going on. But also it's sometimes just having better relationships with the community. And that's where, again, the approach I brought as a federal prosecutor of bringing people in, I think would serve us really well on a statewide level to make sure that those who know what's going on feel comfortable speaking up and sharing that with the people that have the ability to take action through the legal system.
Absolutely. And I know that criminal justice reform is one of the big topics, along with public safety. And naturally, of course, I've been a volunteer instructor at SCI Chester since it opened. And so I have a weekly class there, and I see some of the best and brightest men who might have been caught up in the systems and now have reformed and changed their mindset and are just doing their time for what they need to be accountable for. And then others who just, you know, life was just hard and it was the only thing they could resort to exist. And now with some of the changes that are happening in the probation board and other boards, how influential do you feel the Attorney General's office will be in not only coupling something like forensics, but bringing about justice to those who really should not have been there? And then how can we help them? Because this was a question that one of the young men said to me, if I'm found not guilty and I'm released, I get no help. But I've been in jail for 22 years. But if I acknowledge that I did and I get an expungement, or shall we say a pardon by the governor, then I'm open to assistance, but I have a criminal record. And he says to me, I don't understand why there isn't something to help us get on our feet like they would for the one who's done time, has changed and been remorseful, especially for those who've been wrongly convicted.
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, I think there's at least two really important themes in what you just brought up. One is the use of the power of pardons and expungements. And that's where the Attorney General has a unique ability by having a seat on the Board of Pardons. And from my vantage point, that power has not often been used as effectively as it could be. Some folks see the Attorney General's office as, you know, one stop in a political career, and maybe thinking about long-term questions about whether or not they're going to be called soft on crime if they grant pardons. That's never going to be an issue with me, Bishop Mary. Number one, I have a record as a prosecutor that I'll hold up against any of the Republicans or anyone else that's running, and I'm not going to flinch if someone accuses me of being soft on crime because I'm serious about crime. And what I've done as a former prosecutor is I've leveraged that credibility for reforms. For example, here in Bucks County, we formed the first ever pardons and expungement unit to make it easier for folks to get pardons and expungements in Bucks County. And there's no reason that we can't have that kind of proactive thinking in the Attorney General's office. And I'm not just going to think about a case-by-case basis with the Board of Pardons. I want to think about entire categories where we may have had miscarriages of justice, you know, marijuana convictions that were unfair because the law was not being applied equally. So I think there's a lot of potential with the power of the pardon to be more expansive while we wait for the legislature to make it even easier for people who are trying to put their lives back together to get some relief. The second thing you brought up, Bishop Mary, is the idea of support. And that's something that I'm really proud I got to do when I was a federal prosecutor, because we brought a new approach to thinking about returning citizens back when I was in that office. You know, there's some places and some DA's offices where prosecutors will look at people who are coming out of jail and coming on a probation or parole and see that as a chance to catch somebody slipping and send them back to jail because maybe they thought the judge wasn't hard on them enough the first time. But we took a very, very different view. We saw people who were coming back into communities and understood that if we were serious about public safety, we weren't going to try and set these folks up for failure. We were going to set them up for success. Mm. And that's the reason that we worked in something called a reentry court. And the model that we had here in Eastern Pennsylvania became a model for the country. And the idea was that we would work together, the U.S. Attorney's Office, the federal defenders, the probation office, and the courts. And we would work with people coming back into communities and give them every incentive to do the right thing and as much support as we could provide. So for what did that mean? That meant going to employers like ShopRite and say, listen, we have really talented people who are coming out who could be of great service to your company. And we're just asking you to give them a chance, right? And by working with people who had gone through this program to become mentors for keep, for those who are coming into it. So these are the kinds of approaches that I have seen and found to be successful over 24 years. And that's why I want this office, so that we have someone who has the vision and the experience to bring these kinds of approaches for all of Pennsylvania.
Absolutely. And so the last question I ask you, as a family man, what would be an ideal place that you want Pennsylvania to be in totality, specifically? You're, you know, you're a product of immigration. You've obviously pushed yourself and became successful. But looking at what some of the challenges have been for minority communities, particularly the African-American community, women and others who choose different lifestyles and want to have as much success, access to equity. As Attorney General, what would you want to say? How are you going to be able to meet that for every citizen in Pennsylvania?
By showing up every day with the perspective of a parent who has to ask himself every day, what am I going to do today to make this a better world for my kids?
Wow.
And it's that approach that, yeah, it, whether it's the time I was a prosecutor, you know, when I was the county solicitor here in Bucks County, I was really angry when I found out that these social media companies like Facebook and Snapchat were targeting children with their algorithms. And I had the ability, we figured out, to sue them. We became the first county in America to do that. And eventually, you know, the Attorney General of Pennsylvania and 40 other attorneys general, they joined that fight. But we started it here in Bucks. And that's because from my perspective, I was just doing what I thought, you know, all parents wanted someone to do in government. So what I'm going to continue to do is to reach out to the community and say, what are the problems that you're facing every day? And right now, it's the things we've talked about. It's being safe from violent crime. It's somebody stepping up to do something on housing. It's having someone who's going to be a champion for environmental justice, right? These are the things that I hear every day, aside from the fact that we all know that for years that our public school system needs better, right? Needs more. And I think in my experience, Bishop Mary, we have just asked too little of our attorneys general. And I used the word before accountable and the idea of holding someone's feet to the fire. I want this job so that people every day when they see something going on say, what's Joe Kahn going to do about this today? Right? What's he doing now? I want people to hold me accountable. That's why I want this job. I'm not interested in running for something else. I know what I can do with this office. And, you know, back to that quote, you played earlier. You know, we are the ones that we've been waiting for, right? And I understand the moment what we're in, and I'm stepping up to do something about it. And if your listeners support me and vote for me tomorrow, we're going to have a chance to do great things.
Well, sir, thank you so much for that. I was hoping it would be a humanistic and not a political stage kind of answer, and you answered it as a parent, as someone who cares about what legacy not only you're leaving, but how they're going to be able to continue in a state that they call home. I'm sorry, Commonwealth that we call home, and you're doing your part to make it better. So we thank you so much for your first time here on the Bishop Mary Show. I'm so honored that you chose to come answer my invitation, and certainly everyone can meet you on the website. I think it's Joe Kahn, or is it Joe for AG? What is your website?
No,
I got it. I'm getting my gray hair is showing.
It's okay. it's Joe Kahn, but I said my dad's from Pakistan, so
it's
Kahn is spelled K-H-A-N. So it's J-O-E-K-H-A-N.com. And you know, I'm really proud of this, Bishop Mary. if you actually Google housing justice attorney general, you'll find my name and my website pretty quickly. And I'm really proud of that fact that we started that conversation, but it's just the beginning. And really, the honor was mine. So thank you so much for having me here.
We appreciate you. And so for you listening today, tomorrow is voting day. Please, sir, please, ma'am, say your voice. Embrace your right to have an opinion. Whether you vote for me, anybody else, or write in somebody, utilize your right, your privilege to vote. Your voice counts. We thank you. We thank you in advance. And we're looking for a stellar turnout tomorrow, Tuesday, April 23rd, right here in Pennsylvania. Again, thank you, Mr. Khan. God bless you. And we wish you well. And certainly reach out to us should you want to ever come back and share anything with us here in our audience. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in to another dynamic show with Bishop Mary. To contact Bishop Mary, call 833-722-4748. That's 833-722-4748. And she'll get right back to you. Remember, let the healing begin with you. See you next week for another great time together on the Bishop Mary Show.